This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne, because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How the Lead Method Helps Managers Structure Difficult Conversations with Their Teams. A four-step framework that gives managers clear ground when conversations get hard. In short, difficult conversations fall apart not because managers lack courage, but because they lack structure. The Lead Method gives you a four-step sequence to follow when the stakes are high and the pressure is real. It starts with listening, so the person you are speaking with feels heard before you say anything difficult. It moves through empathy and a clear articulation of what you need, then closes with concrete next steps. Used consistently, it builds the kind of trust that makes hard conversations less hard over time. Definition: The Lead Method is a four-step framework for structuring difficult leadership conversations. Developed in Say It Right Every Time, it guides managers through listen first, empathize, articulate your vision, and define the next steps to produce clear, respectful, and productive outcomes. I have watched good managers destroy a conversation in the first 30 seconds. Not because they were cruel, not because they were careless, because they walked in with a conclusion already formed, started talking before the other person had drawn breath, and lost the whole thing before it had a chance to begin. I have done it myself, more times than I care to count. Difficult conversations are the real test of leadership. Anyone can manage a team when things are going well. The measure is what you do when performance is slipping, when trust has frayed, when something has gone wrong, and someone needs to hear it from you. In those moments, good intentions are not enough. You need a structure you can reach for when pressure strips everything else away. That is exactly what the Lead Method is built to provide. In Say It Right Every Time, I introduce the Lead Method as a framework specifically designed for the kind of high-stakes leadership conversations that most managers either avoid or mishandle. I cover it in Chapter 7, alongside principles like clarity over comfort and honesty over hope, because those values are what give the framework its spine. The steps are listen first, empathize, articulate your vision, and define the next steps. What follows is the full framework shown in use, so you can apply it the next time you need it. Why structure matters more than good intentions in hard conversations. Here is the truth of it: under pressure, people revert to their defaults. A manager who is not prepared for a difficult conversation will either soften the message until it disappears, or come in so blunt that the other person shuts down. Both outcomes waste everyone's time and damage the relationship in the process. Structure does not make you robotic. It makes you reliable. When you have a clear sequence to follow, you stop improvising under stress and start leading with intention. The person across from you can feel the difference. They may not be able to name it, but they trust you more when they sense you know where the conversation is going. This is especially true for difficult conversations that are blocking your team's progress. Without a clear structure, those conversations circle endlessly without resolution. The Lead Method gives your path through. The Lead Method, a step-by-step framework for managers. As I outline in Chapter 7 of Say It Right Every Time, the Lead Method is a four-step sequence for any conversation where clarity, respect, and a clear outcome all matter at once. Each step has a purpose. Each step prepares the ground for the next. Step 1. Listen first. The first step is the one most managers skip. They have prepared what they want to say, they have rehearsed the outcome they want, and they walk in ready to deliver. That is precisely the wrong approach. Listening first does not mean listening indefinitely. It means deliberately creating space at the start of the conversation for the other person to speak before you do. You are gathering information. You are understanding their experience of the situation. And you are signaling, clearly, that this is a conversation and not a verdict. How it works in practice. Number 1. Open with a neutral, inviting question. Not "I need to talk to you about your performance, but I wanted to check in about how things have been going for you lately. What has been on your mind?" Number 2. Listen without interrupting. Let silences sit for a moment before you fill them. Number 3. Take brief notes if it helps you stay present, without planning your response. Number 4. Reflect back what you have heard before moving on. "So what I'm hearing is that you have felt unsupported when the timelines shift at short notice. Is that right?" When it works best: when you have assumed you already understand the situation fully. When the other person seems guarded or defensive before you have even started. When past conversations on the same topic have not produced change. When to be careful: Listening first is not an invitation for the conversation to become a one-way therapy session. You set the purpose, you hold the container, and you move the conversation forward once you have genuinely heard what matters. A worked example. Our manager needs to address a team member, Marcus, who has missed 3 consecutive project deadlines. Rather than opening with "this cannot continue," the manager asks Marcus how he has been finding the workload. Marcus reveals that 2 other projects were escalated to him without his manager's knowledge, and he has been drowning. The listening step does not remove the need for accountability, but it changes the entire shape of the conversation that follows. Let me tell you something I have learned from decades of difficult conversations. The person sitting across from you usually has a piece of the story. You do not have yet. Listen first. You will lead better for it. Step 2. Empathize. Empathy in a difficult conversation is not about agreeing with that other person. It is about acknowledging their experience as real before you introduce your own perspective. Those are very different things, and confusing them is a common failure point. A manager who skips empathy signals, however unintentionally, that the other person's experience does not matter. The person then spends the rest of the conversation defending themselves rather than engaging with what you actually need to discuss. The conversation fails before it finds its footing. How it works in practice. Number 1. Name what you observed or what you heard, without judgment. I can see this situation has been genuinely stressful for you. Number 2. Separate acknowledgement from agreement. I understand this has felt unfair, and I want to address that. I also need to talk with you about the impact on the team. Number 3. Use specific language, not generic reassurance. That sounds like a lot to carry, Lance. Better than "I understand how you feel." When it works best. When emotions are running high, and that other person needs to feel heard before they can hear anything else. When you have delivered difficult news, and need to acknowledge the weight of it. When to be careful. Empathy is a bridge, not a destination. Do not get so deep into the emotional acknowledgement that you lose the clarity and direction the conversation needs. A worked example continuing from Marcus. After hearing Marcus, the manager says, "I hear you. Taking on 2 extra escalations on top of your existing load, without proper support, is not a reasonable position to put you in. I want to address that. I also need us to talk honestly about what happens to the team when deadlines are missed, because that cannot continue regardless of the reason. Here is what I know for certain: people do not hear your message until they feel that you respect them. Empathy earns you the right to be direct." Step 3. Articulate your vision. This is where the conversation shifts from understanding to direction. You have listened. You have acknowledged. Now you say, with clarity, and without softening it to the point of meaninglessness, what you need, and why it matters. Many managers struggle here. They bury the real message in qualifications. They say it would be great if we could maybe try to, when what they mean is "this needs to change, and here is specifically what I need from you." Clarity is not cruelty. Vagueness is not kindness. If you are not clear here, you are not leading. How it works in practice. Number 1. State the issue plainly. When you arrived 50 minutes late to the client meeting without calling ahead, it sent a message that we do not value their time. Number 2. Connect it to impact. This is the 3rd time this has happened in the past month, and it is affecting our relationship with them. Number 3. State what you need going forward. I need you to be on time for client meetings. Can you commit to that? Number 4. Explain the reasoning. People are far more likely to change when they understand the why, not just the what. When it works best. Every difficult conversation needs this step. Without it, the conversation isn't complete regardless of how well the listening and empathy went. A worked example. Marcus, going forward, I need every project deadline to be treated as a firm commitment unless you raise a flag with me at least 48 hours in advance. The team depends on your output to complete their work. When timelines slip without warning, it creates a ripple that affects everyone. I'm also committed to making sure you are not taken off course by unplanned escalations without my knowledge. But I need that commitment from you on the deadlines. For situations where a vision needs to be communicated alongside difficult news, the deal method for resolving team conflicts can work alongside lead to handle more complex dynamics. Step 4. Define the next steps. A difficult conversation without a clear agreed outcome is just an uncomfortable exchange. The final step of the lead method closes the loop. You leave the conversation with both people knowing exactly what happens next, who is responsible for what, and when you will check in. This step is where many conversations leave their value on the table. The manager thinks the conversation went well, The team member walks away unsure what, if anything, they are actually expected to do differently. Without defined next steps, nothing changes. How it works in practice. Number 1. Summarize what you have agreed. So, to summarize, you will flag any timeline risks 48 hours in advance, and I will make sure escalations go through me first. Number 2. Be specific about timelines. I would like to check in on this again in 2 weeks. Number 3. Ask if they have questions or need anything from you. Is there anything you need from me to make this work? Number 4. Document it briefly after the conversation so there is no ambiguity later. When it works best. Every difficult conversation. No exceptions. A worked example. Here is what we have agreed, Marcus. You flag timeline risks to me 48 hours in advance. I protect you from unplanned escalations. We check in 2 weeks from now to see how it is going. Does that work for you? The conversation is not finished until both of you can walk out of the room and describe the same agreed outcome. That is the test. Choosing the right tool. When the lead method fits and when it does not. The lead method is purpose-built for one-on-one or small group leadership conversations where a manager needs to address something specific while preserving the relationship and producing a clear outcome. It is not a universal solution for every difficult moment. Situation lead method. Alternative to consider. Performance issue with a direct report strong fit use as primary structure. Delivering difficult news to the full team partial fit pair with a communication plan. Two colleagues in conflict with each other weaker fit deal method for colleague tension. Giving specific behavioural feedback pair with SBY situation. Behaviour. Impact structure. High motion conversation mid-meeting not ideal. Handling conflict during meetings. Grounding yourself during a tense exchange complement core framework for staying grounded. The lead method works best when you have time to prepare. Privacy to speak honestly. And a genuine intention to hear the other person before you direct them. When the conversation is a genuine two-way conflict between peers, or when it erupts unexpectedly in a group setting, you need a different tool. Where the lead method pairs exceptionally well is with the SBI structure situation, behavior, impact from chapter 5 of Say It Right Every Time. SBI gives you the precise language for the articulate your vision step. The two frameworks together give you both the conversational structure and the specific delivery script you need for performance feedback. If unspoken expectations are at the root of the tension, it is worth addressing those first before reaching for lead. You can read about how unspoken expectations create tension at work and what to say to surface them. Where managers go wrong when using this framework. Even a sound framework can be misused. After decades of coaching managers through difficult conversations, I have seen 4 failure patterns appear again and again. The mistake. Skipping step 1 entirely and opening with a problem statement. Why it happens. Managers are time pressured and have pre-planned their message. What to do instead? Spend the first 3 to 5 minutes in genuine listening, even if you already believe you know the full picture. The mistake. Using empathy as a delay tactic to avoid saying the hard thing. Why it happens? Discomfort with direct confrontation causes managers to stay in step 2 too long. What to do instead? Empathize briefly and specifically, then transition clearly. I hear that. And I also need to be direct with you about what needs to change. The mistake. Articulating vision in vague terms to soften the message. Why it happens. Fear of causing upset or a reluctance to be seen as the difficult one. What to do instead. Use specific, observable language. Name the behavior. Name the impact. Name what you need. If you want help staying grounded while you do that, the empathy bridge technique can help you set the tone before the conversation even begins. The mistake. Ending the conversation without defined next steps. Why it happens. Relief that the hard part is over, combined with optimism that the conversation itself will produce change. What to do instead? Treat step 4 as non-negotiable. No conversation ends without both parties naming what happens next. If a conversation does go wrong despite your best efforts, the recover method exists specifically for situations where tension management makes things worse, not better. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Building real fluency with the lead method over time. Reading a framework is not the same as mastering it. The gap between understanding and fluency is practice. And the only way to close that gap is to use the structure deliberately, in real conversations, before you actually need it under pressure. Start with lower stakes conversations. Use SLEED the next time you need to give feedback on something minor. Run through the 4 steps consciously, even if the conversation does not feel like it needs a full framework. You're building the muscle memory, not just the knowledge. After each conversation, ask yourself 2 questions. Where did I do well? And which step did I shortcut? Most people find they consistently shortcut the same step. That is the one to work on. After 3 to 5 deliberate uses, the framework starts to feel natural rather than mechanical. That is when you know you have earned it. For rebuilding relationships where trust has already broken down, the bridge method picks up where the lead method leaves off. It is also worth reviewing how feedback disagreements are handled in your team. The deal method for feedback disagreements addresses the specific moment when a direct report pushes back on what you've said, and lead has prepared you well for that moment. What this framework actually asks of you. Here's what I wrote and say it right every time, and I believe it as strongly now as I did when I first put it down. Your job as a leader is to be clear, not to be comfortable. You will have to have conversations that are difficult, awkward, and uncomfortable. But if you are not clear, you are not leading. The lead method does not make difficult conversations easy. Nothing does. What it gives you is a reliable structure that keeps the conversation grounded, respectful, and purposeful when everything else feels uncertain. That is the real value of having a framework. Every difficult conversation you handle well builds something in your team. It builds the trust that comes from knowing their manager will say the hard thing with honesty and care. It builds the psychological safety that allows people to tell you when something is wrong. It builds the kind of culture where problems surface early rather than silently compounding. The lead method gives you a clear 4-step structure. Listen before you speak. Acknowledge before you direct. Be clear about what you need. And always close with defined commitments. That is not a complicated system, but it is one that takes real courage and consistent practice to use well. The managers who do use it well earn something that no title ever confers on its own, the genuine respect of the people they lead. Frequently asked questions. What is the lead method for difficult conversations? The lead method is a 4-step framework for structuring difficult leadership conversations. The steps are listen first, empathize, articulate your vision, and define the next steps. It gives managers a reliable sequence that prevents difficult conversations from drifting or collapsing under pressure. When should a manager use the lead method? Use the lead method when you need to address a performance issue, communicate a change, give difficult feedback, or resolve tension on your team. It works best when the conversation has real stakes and you need structure to stay clear and respectful throughout. How does the lead method differ from other feedback frameworks? Most feedback frameworks focus on delivering information clearly. The lead method starts with listening, which means the manager learns before they speak. This reduces defensiveness, builds trust, and makes the rest of the conversation far more productive than a one-way delivery model. Can the lead method be used for team meetings, not just one-on-one conversations? The lead method works best in one-on-one or small group conversations, where genuine listening is possible. For larger meeting conflicts, a different structure is more appropriate. You can read more about that in guidance on how to handle conflict during meetings. What is the most common mistake managers make when using the lead method? The most common mistake is skipping the first step and jumping straight to articulating a vision or defining next steps. When managers skip listening and empathy, the person on the other side feels managed rather than heard, and the conversation loses the trust it needs to produce real change. How long does it take to get comfortable with the lead method? Most managers feel noticeably more confident after 3 to 5 deliberate uses of the framework. The goal is not perfection. It is to have a structure you can reach for when pressure strips away your instincts. Regular practice in lower stakes conversations builds the muscle for harder ones. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.